Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast that wouldn't die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
In the world of Niratova, forgotten gods have made themselves known. A darkness creeps across the land, and a skeleton army has posed to push the mortals away. All that stands between them are the heroes of What the Dice, streaming weekly on all major platforms. You can also follow us at What the Dice Pod on Twitter.
Evil force took his life. An unearthly power has brought him back. He is a phantom, a wraith, a cosmic spirit given another chance.
Are you new in town?
Yeah. Who's the kid?
I turned my back and the next second he was there, like magic almost.
Welcome to the last episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me as always is Aaron.
Howdy.
This week, we're discussing the horror, science fiction, I don't know what the hell it is, The Wraith, starring Sherilyn Fenn, Randy Quaid, Clint Howard, and ever so briefly, Charlie Sheen. So you have that to look forward to.
Phone in that, S-H-N.
Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre. With a comedic twist, Aaron, how are you doing?
Oh my God. For those who don't know, it's spring, apparently. So the time has changed. And so even though I went to bed at 9:30, it feels like I was up till 3 a.m. for a 4 o'clock appointment. I don't know what's happened. Half dead.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I thought we voted in California to do away with this daylight savings time sitch. What was the point of that vote?
I guess it was just kind of a, you know, send a message kind of vote rather than actual law, perhaps.
So hundreds of thousands of dollars to put this on the ballot just for SH and giggles, is that it?
Oh, and I don't think it was ever like we voted for it. I think maybe like in Congress.
It was on a ballot. I voted for it.
Did it pass? I guess that's the next question.
It passed. But then apparently it was just like, you know, in California, anyone who gets enough signatures can put anything on a ballot.
Yes.
H.R. Puffin stuff will be our new governor, whatever. But
yes.
I think this was one of those things in California that old what's-his-name on HBO always complains about, Bill Maher.
Let me ask you this. Which time would you prefer? Standard time or daylight savings time?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. I went to high school in Arizona, which does not change time. Just pick one and stick with it. There's no reason for it.
Now
we have electric lights.
We do have electric lights. What I have heard is that there is actual value to waking up in the morning and the sun's already out. Like that.
Okay, let me tell you right now, the sun ain't out.
Sun's out, right. So what are we talking about? Is that standard time then when you wake up and the sun's out and then you come home
we're
and it's dark out?
We're still in Pacific time. We're in the Pacific time zone.
We're talking, there's daylight savings
time. Are we on Eastern time now? What's happening?
Might as well be. Why are we talking about this? This is a goddamn fiasco.
Arizona seems to survive. I mean, it's a boiling pot of crazy, but it doesn't seem to affect them. Although maybe if it rained, maybe it wasn't so hot. Maybe they didn't have these dust storms that reached the moon. It would be less Republican. I don't know. But
you're saying if it was less of a dead wasteland,
if it wasn't Dune,
it is absolutely Dune. It is Arrakis.
It is Arrakis. Ay, ay, ay.
Sweet Jesus. I think we should come clean with the audience. You and I watched this movie a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I honestly don't remember what. It's been a long frickin' time since we saw it. We were on another podcast. Our friends at the Collateral Cinema podcast had us on to discuss it. And as we've often said, if we go on another podcast to discuss a movie, we're definitely discussing it on the show, on our
show. Although we discussed whether we should just shelve this and just go on with our lives.
We did.
But apparently. Apparently, here we are. We're going to discuss it. And I'm sure only because Charlie Sheen's in it for about 5 minutes, even though he's the star.
This is a sad situation. So why don't you use your 30-second synopsis and let's cross our fingers. What do you think? What do you think this movie's about? What do you recall?
It is Kit, the talking car.
Yes.
Somehow creates a cocoon and envelops men who travel kicking the asses of bullies. And when they're done killing all the bad teenagers, they hand the keys to someone else and they take over the role. Is that about it?
All except the cocoon. I don't know where that came from. What kind of fever
it's
dream?
Like you become like a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica who's angry at teenage, early 20 bullies with shells.
That's true. Although I do. These are not puka shells, but they're a little something there from my time.
What's the difference between your beaded necklace?
Well, puka shells are very specific. These are just beads. These aren't shells of some kind of aquatic creature.
I thought for sure you told me that your puka shells only come out in summertime. And it is still early March.
That's a goddamn lie. Whatever these beads are, they're 24/7, 365, if you know what I'm saying.
Did you get those from Temu? Are they the tears of children working in Chinese prisons? Did you get that on a TikTok shop? Same thing.
My wife first bought similar, you know, not these particular ones, but something similar to these when we were in Jamaica before we were married. And then it just became part of my style. So when one gets shattered, you know, as you know,
a narwhal dies.
Exactly. I just get a new one. So it's probably
the necklace
fifth or sixth.
Breaks, or is each one like those candy necklace, like a wish or a dream that dies? And as each one breaks free, something happens.
At the beginning of Batman with Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne's parents are assaulted by a mugger. And he pulls her pearls away and they break right before he murders them. That's what sometimes happens to my puka shells or beads or whatever the hell these things are. Occasionally they just get shattered in violent muggings or whatever.
Violent muggings in Irvine.
I work in Long Beach. How dare you, first of all.
How many puka shells met their untimely demise in Long Beach?
Zero.
Exactly.
They've all met their demise here
Demise Moore.
Demise Moore. Dinty Moore. Sweet Jesus. Okay. Do you remember the first time you saw The Wraith?
Let's just clarify that it's the first and only time that I've seen The Wraith. And I believe it was on Tubi with the word loading circling the center of that for the entire experience.
Beautiful, beautiful. And did you know what a wraith was going into this? That's another question we
There was a time that I played Magic the Gathering when I had small children. There was a neighbor across the street, and we'd try to put our children down for naps and then set up the baby monitors and then play cards.
Okay. So
until I realized this is the most stupid bullshit game in the whole world, and it's a scam for money. And I said, I'll have no more of that, ma'am.
Get thee behind me.
Get thee behind me.
I understand. Well, okay. Basically, let me tell you this story. As a preteen, this is late, mid to late 80s, I distinctly remember watching The Wraith with Charlie Sheen. I distinctly remember it.
Well, back then, they only had 6 movies on these pay-per-view things, which is why I saw Time After Time 900 times, because whenever you would turn the movie channel on or whatever it was, it would always be on. So I'm sure it's a similar situation.
I think, honestly, because, I mean, I'm sure we've mentioned this 1,000 times. When I was very young, early 80s, we had HBO. Okay. Then K-Dog said some shit. He was mimicking Steve Martin from The Jerk. I don't know what the situation
was. To a priest.
As one does. And it got yanked out of there.
You're not going to say what you said to
It's a matter of debate. But why don't you tell America what you recall me saying?
I was not there, but the lore goes... Please. That you were doing a little dance or something and said as one does when you're a young boy and announced to the world, they call me shithead around here.
Which is not a line from The Jerk, by the way. I saw The Jerk later.
It's something similar.
Absolutely not. He says, he tells his dog, I will name you Hero. And a little Asian man comes up. You shouldn't call him Hero. You should call him Shithead. Because, yeah, you have to go see The Jerk to understand what we're talking about.
Oh,
anywho, so that got yanked out of here. Now, what I do recall is as a child, I would do Steve Martin's routine from the Muppet movie, where he was sampling the sparkling Muscatels, the finest wine of Idaho.
And who wouldn't? Because Absolutely. That movie is genius.
It's genius. A goddamn masterpiece.
Rainbow Connection makes me cry.
To this day, me cry. Absolutely. It's one of those things where I'm like...
I bought it, and I showed it to my class, and I teach high school. I'm like, everybody be quiet. We're watching that.
When Rainbow Connection kicks in, there are tears in my eyes, and it's those existential moments where I'm like, when I'm happy, why do I cry? Like I'm an android, like I'm Data or some shit. Where I don't understand emotions. What is happening? It's a thing. Absolutely.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? It's one of my K-Tel records.
It's a good
that
one.
I got 12 records for a nickel. And I'm sure I didn't even send him the nickel. I'm still in collection somewhere.
Probably. Anywho, what I was saying is I would have sleepovers or whatever with friends who had HBO. And this was in the heavy rotation of The Wraith. Now, when the guys at Collateral Cinema were like, hey, let's do The Wraith, I'm like, sounds good. I had not seen it in a good 40 years. And I was literally like struggling. I know Charlie Sheen's in it, and I know there's like car racing. Like it's Cannonball Run or Smokey and the Bandit or something. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
This was going to be like the apex of, I'm not even sure if this is 86. The apex of 80s entertainment.
Absolutely. No question.
It's got a sheen. Why not?
It's got a sheen. No question. I did not remember Randy Quaid was in this. I definitely didn't remember Clint Howard or Sherilyn Fenn. looking mighty foxy, as I've said before, and I will say again.
She is a gorgeous woman.
Gorge, no question. Why don't we jump right in to the Wraith? Now, as so often occurs, Aaron's having trouble deciphering her notes. So let's see if we can figure it out together, perhaps. Go for it, Aaron. What you got?
Well, we always already covered that the villain is, of course, wearing puka shells.
Yes.
So we all
Nick Cassavetes. Yes.
Son of John Cassavetes.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, and his hair looks nuts. He's wearing like a leather vest and a, like, is it a wig? Or is that just the style of his hair? I don't know what the answer is.
They're trying to look windblown. It's because he can't drive 55 if you believe and feel what is written in the dust of his shitty car. But to me, puka shells don't seem like menace. He's a surf Nazi and he must die. But you wear puka shells?
Well, and he's in Tucson. He's out in the desert. There's not a whole lot of coastline out there, sad to say.
I see. He didn't buy it at the mall?
That's maybe he did.
Was there a Claire's Boutique there or something? Perhaps I picked that up.
Why not? Get your ears pierced. You're covered. That's all you need.
He was missing his red bandana. Yeah. Because he doesn't start off looking utterly terrifying. But, I mean, maybe he's Sammy Hagar. I don't know. He can't drive 55.
He can't drive 55. That didn't used to be a law, by the way.
It's a political movie. So maybe that's what we're talking about. Because I don't think that Sammy Hagar song was 86.
No, I think it was before that, right?
Oh, is it?
I think it was before. Yeah, because, again, people who don't remember, there didn't used to be speed limits. And they instituted speed limits, not for safety. Do you know why they instituted speed limits?
Because it's easier to scrape you off the road if you're at 55.
100%.
You're right. Released 84. So this was definitely a nod to Mr. Hagar. So tell us more about the history of driving in the United States. When, Kevin, did they make us all wear seatbelts and drive 55? Because now we can drive 70.
We can drive 70. Well, the reason why, now here's where the big laughs come in. Actually, that's a lie. The reason why is for fuel economy. Because remember, in the late 70s, there was OPEC.
There was funny. We seem to still be having those same goddamn problems. Interesting how nobody ever learns.
It's a sad situation. This is my sad
belief in the human race, Al. Those condemned to, forget the past or doomed to repeat it, whatever
you
the fuck
it is. You know it, don't
you? You know it, homie. I'm just going to tear it down from my classroom because humans are just condemned to repeat the mistakes of previous humans. The end. Life. Thank you.
We don't learn not to wear puka shells and leather jackets.
We don't learn nothing from nobody.
Absolutely. So, okay. Essentially,
seatbelts.
Seatbelts were. I remember not having. There were cars that didn't. I mean, honestly, I would ride the school bus to school. No seatbelts in there.
Quite frankly, I'm not sure there still are seatbelts.
That's what I'm saying. If that thing jackknifes,
less and less. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all dead. Anywho. Nick Cassavetes leads some kind of a street gang. Is that what it is? Where they essentially,
tough, as one might say, a street tough.
Street toughs. But what they do, this thing where, homie, at the beginning of the movie, a guy's driving down the dark, dusty roads with his girlfriend and his Mustang or whatever. And he gets basically run down by the gang who are like, you have to race us. And if we win, we have to keep your car.
It's like Greece. It's just like Greece, only not as good and with less singing.
That is true. Well, in Greece, it was like a mutually agreed upon plan. You know, I'm riding Grease Lightning. I'm doing my thing. In this one, it's like, if you don't race us, we're going to abduct your girl and rape her. So you have to race us for pink slips.
But you will, of course, die. So, and then we'll still rape your girlfriend, because that's part of the magic.
Well, yes. So we force you to race us, and then we cheat. Like, he, like, rammed into him at one point to make sure that they win, and then they steal your car. Now, watching this movie, you'd think that there were no police around. But there are police.
He's about 15 years old. And so thin, you wouldn't even know.
This is several years after National Lampoon's Vacation. He might have even been on Saturday Night Live at this stage of the game. So Randy Quaid is the law at this point.
But he is he's older than Vacation? I assume this was before Vacation.
No. This is before Christmas Vacation. It's at least, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 years after the original Vacation, where he played Cousin Eddie. If I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah. I just don't remember him being so trim. I think I'm always remembering Christmas Vacation, Cousin Eddie.
Right. it's a different variety.
In the Sansibel trousers.
So they were very popular. Absolutely. This scene serves no purpose other than to let us know these guys are assholes, essentially, right? Yes. Because this young couple survive their encounter, and we never see them again. I mean, I guess maybe they died in the desert wandering back into town without a car. I guess that's possible.
Right.
So the mythology of this movie is, before the movie even takes place, the leader of the gang, Nick Cassavetes, is basically obsessed with Sherilyn Fenn. Okay.
And who wouldn't be?
Can't say as I blame him. But before the movie took place, she was dating a guy, Jamie, who, while they are in the love shack in the desert, doing the devil's business, the street gang shows up and murders him. Throws a bag over her head, so I guess she cannot identify the only gang in town. And then they stab him to death. Okay? So now Charlie Sheen is the reincarnation of Jamie to get revenge in some kind of futuristic car? Is that what this is?
There's a few holes, one might say, in the story.
I would say. Everyone would say.
Yeah, then mysteriously, some dude in, I don't know, it literally looks like the stupid Tesla truck rolls up.
The Cybertruck.
There needs to be a lawsuit because crazy fucking Elon clearly just lifted this right out of this movie. And again, we know it's a tool of evil.
Yes.
So now it just shows up and now also wants to race everybody, but the bad people get burned up, their car gets burned up, but they're preserved because Charlie Sheen is drinking their fluids, their spider people. What the hell? Not explained.
So you've got Charlie Sheen rolls into town in his motorbike. His dirt bike, and he starts trying to romance Sherilyn Fenn, who I guess is over the brutal murder of her boyfriend from last week, 6 years ago. Who knows? Who knows what's happening?
I will say also that Charlie Sheen is as smooth as a seal. There is not hair anywhere but on top of his head.
Now, we didn't see a whole lot of his body, to be honest. Sweet Jesus. It's that tiger blood.
It's the tiger blood. He's winning, baby. Winning.
He's winning. Duh. Winning. He's romancing. But then every now and again, the car, Knight Rider, shows up. And like you said, challenges these guys. Because they don't just carjack you, right? They don't just walk up to the window with a gun and say, get out of the car. They go, hey, let's race. And one by one, their jalopies, of course, get dusted by, this futuristic vehicle from, outer
space. Elon Musk's fever brain. Musk. This is a reveal to the future. We're not paying attention.
Absolutely. We were forced to repeat our mistakes. So he would, the car would get it like a distance ahead, go around a blind curve. And then here come the bad guys coming up. When they turn the corner, there is the Cybertruck blocking the road. So they have nothing else to do but to crash into the car, you know, conflagration, you know, huge explosion. And I, because he's a wraith, not a ghost. He's a wraith. So that car blows up. It's back in one piece 5 seconds later. But meanwhile, the street gang member,
wraith, or the car's the wraith. Is this like Christine? What's happening?
Unexplained.
Unexplained. Not for you to know.
Not for you to know. Now, when the people die in the explosion, they fish their corpses out of the mess, and their bodies are totally unharmed in any way, but they have black eyes. As if that, why? No explanation.
Like shark eyes.
Like a doll's eyes. Yeah. No, it's hard to know what's going on here. So, and the street gang, and jump in anytime, the street gang is like the craziest, like, Road Warrior group. There's a dude with a crazy mohawk and
guy. The Road Warriors were a bunch of pussies, and yes. And you have a dude that looks like a racer head, yes. A couple of dudes like an '80s bad video dancers. I mean, it's true. A motley crew. If you just saw them hanging out, fear would not be on your mind.
No, more like curiosity and pity. Would probably flicker through your brain. What's wrong with these people?
Desert and meth, they go hand in hand.
Well, and then what are the weird freaky dudes are called, like Skank and Gutter Boy or something like that?
Not Beavis and Butthead?
You might as well. Who? And the one dude is literally drinking like hydraulic fluid and snorting WD-40. So who knows? Just to show you, these are some messed up cats. Essentially, no explanation.
Good Lord.
Good Lord.
It reminds me of, did you ever read that book about circus freaks?
Is that Arturo, Geek Love?
Yeah, Geek Love. Do you remember Geek Love? They used to, the dad would have the mom drink all these potions when she was pregnant because they're trying to make the perfect freaks for the freak show.
This sounds horrible. By the way, this sounds horrible. Did you ever see the movie Freaks, the Todd Browning classic?
Oh, yeah. I think our brother Patrick gave it to me for Christmas one year.
I think it was your brother Kevin.
Gooba Gaba, one of us.
It was your brother Kevin who gave it to you for Christmas one year.
Are you sure about that?
100%, I'm sure. No question. Good Lord. Freaks, yeah. Go ahead.
It's not as good as all the old. They did a version of it for American Horror Story back when that was good.
Well, but that's the thing fantastic. About Freaks. Because if I'm remembering correctly, it was the same director who directed the original Dracula with Bela Lugosi. Directed
no,
the story.
Todd Browning.
Todd Browning. Yeah, that's who directed Dracula. Yeah.
What?
Todd with that. 1 D, which I've never seen spelled that way in all my years, but. Anyway, yeah.
That's my son's middle name. That's Tad. Never mind.
You didn't even know. What is your problem? Very upsetting. But they when this movie was made, they were still circus sideshows and carnival sideshows. So the actors in this movie, there were no green screen. They had actual freaks. I mean, no offense if you're listening. Actual freaks playing the freaks in the movie. So there you go. But
well, it kept ahead. People out. They always talk about this stuff. People had jobs. They were at institutions. They had autonomy. They
had a place to go and be, you know, part of a community.
Remember, they were trying to stop like dwarf bowling and things like that years ago, and people
that wasn't that long ago either. By the way,
it wasn't that long ago, and people and they were like, "Why are you trying to make it so I can't earn a living by making this illegal?"
Right.
It's always a very
They're exploiting you. Yes, but they're also paying me. So yeah. that's the thing. So questions will questions, not be answered this episode during the Wraith. Let me
we
tell
will
you.
Not answer it, nor will you find the answer in the writings of Charlie Sheen.
The writings of Charlie? His manifesto, perhaps?
It's coming. It's coming. The, it's, the it may already manifesto. Be out there.
It's,
you've it's, heard it's of the world thing. According to Garp. Just wait.
Just wait!
The world according to Charlie. Oh, I would pay. Jesus. I read the Britney Spears, so you know I would pay for the Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Absolutely.
Easy. Not even anything I have to think about.
So let's get back to the plot. So Charlie Sheen is romancing Sherilyn Fenn, and I guess it's his brother who works at the Burger Hut with Sherilyn Fenn.
Jamie's brother.
Yes. The guy who was killed. And when the day that Charlie Sheen arrives, they're all down by the creek. Is that basically what it was? Cause I mean, how
a
old
stagnant
are these
pool?
Yes. A swamp, if you will. What, honestly, how old are they supposed to be? Are they high school age? Are they college age? Are they middle age?
These folks were not on the college track. I think you're reaching there.
A college
age. It
does
remind me of growing up in the desert, and there'd be new construction, and after a rain, we would just go swim in the murky, filthy water with floating cockroaches. So I assume this is something they were doing also.
I've never heard that. Why were you swimming in old swamp water with cockroaches?
Because I grew up in the desert, so things people in the desert did was build a fort of sand, which was sure to collapse upon you and kill two of your classmates. The other thing would be to swim in the flash flood zone or swim in any hole by new construction with just dirty, stinky poison water.
You're talking about the wash is what you're referring to, correct?
I'm talking about... Most of my learning was from the 70s where you were just turned loose. Your mother said she had a headache. She locked you outside. Be back in time for dinner. 6 hours later, some returned, some did not.
Some did not. Absolutely. So, okay.
At which point your mother would just stand in the middle of the street and call your name.
And then lock the door. And say good luck.
Lock the door. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit.
It's like the hills have eyes out there in the desert. Sweet Jesus.
It is. The fish sticks and tater tots are ready, along with a big bowl of peas and your glass of Tang. Let's get on with it.
I do like Tang, even to this day. But sweet Jesus. So they're all at the creek. Charlie Sheen is there with his towel. And there shows up the goofy brother. Who does not, evidently Charlie Sheen is Jamie reincarnated, and the brother does not recognize him, but is of course drawn to him.
Okay, this is the weirdest thing, because I think the younger brother may be neurodiverse, because he immediately takes his towel and practically lays it on top of Charlie Sheen's. Yes. There's nothing nicer than you're by yourself and a freak comes and sits uncomfortably close to you at a park. When there's clearly 1,000 other places for them to go, it immediately starts peppering you with 1,000 conversations.
New in town, sailor? Yeah, it's a lot of those kind of conversations. Well, and that's the thing. In retrospect, we know Charlie Sheen is his brother reincarnated, right? But Charlie Sheen could give two
shits. Honestly, I never got that until the very end. I was like, what the F is happening?
Right. Well, they don't spell it out for you. Or even say it.
I thought he was like a Prince Valiant. There's trouble in this part of town.
I see.
Maybe he's the new Noah. God's going to smite the desert, as he should. The last chance for salvation for the city of Tucson.
This is Lot, is what you're saying, before they all turn to pillars of sand or whatever the hell.
Don't look back. Build the ark.
Don't look
whatever.
Back. Well, again, I think at the very end, Charlie Sheen is like, oh yeah, by the way, I was the guy driving the crazy futuristic vehicle the entire time. Because the dude driving it the rest of the movie has got like a motorcycle helmet on, so you never see his face.
Yeah, and he's got all this weird neon tubing. It looks like a reject from Tron. They're like, no, here's our first suit. No, reject. We can do a better suit for Tron.
It's more like Starlight Express, if you will.
Starlight Express. That's he smelled a little Andrew Lloyd Webber to me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, he's got he's got braces on his arms and on his legs. And every time he murders one of the guys who killed him, I guess, the brace kind of pops off. But again, there's no explanation what any of this means. Just like there's no explanation as to why the corpses all have black eyes. No explanation.
So does he move to a new town, but he still uses the social security number of the dead dude? And are these also the Lost Boys, so they have no family or parents?
Yes.
So there's no one to identify this. This is like the Lost Boys, but instead of being Santa Cruz, it's like in a pit in the middle of the desert.
Correct. He's out in Indio, is what you're saying.
That's the hub of the valley.
The hub of the valley. That's some Inland Empire humor. So, yes, like we said, there's no explanation about why any of this stuff is. But like I said, when the creepy brother sidles up to Charlie Sheen, Charlie Sheen could give two shits. This is your brother. You should be just as happy to see him. I was murdered. My long-lost brother. How about a hug? Nothing. He's like, get the hell away from me. I'm going after my girlfriend. Leave me be.
I think Charlie Sheen is still half a cyborg.
Yes.
This is the most emotion he shows in anything. Is there, I didn't see any of his war movies, or maybe I did, but he does seem like he is a robot when it comes to emotions displayed in the theater.
Look, he ain't Sir Laurence Olivier. Stipulated. He ain't, but he's not Dustin Hoffman, right?
I saw whatever his baseball movie was.
Major League?
Major League. I saw the baseball movie. But again, he's half a robot in all of those.
He's fine. He actually, this is
behind the scenes. That's what they're going to put on his epitaph. He's fine.
He's fine. Well, he was actually filming Platoon. While he was filming this. That's why he's in literally 2 minutes of the movie.
I feel like maybe I saw Platoon. You know, that's not really my flavor of movie, but which one's Platoon? Is that the one where the Vietnamese lady smothers her baby so they don't get caught?
I haven't seen it all the way through as well. I remember it was a big thing about this time. Like it was
Nam was fun and popular. So you had Full Metal Jacket, yep. You had Platoon. I think Michael J. Fox was in some Nam
Casualties
movie
of
too.
War.
There
absolutely.
We go. Everybody.
It started with Apocalypse Now, when I'm convinced Vietnam War was still going on. I don't know.
Maybe
prove me wrong.
Is. And should we talk about the fact that our father took us to see Apocalypse Now when I was like 12 or 13 years old? Let's talk about the trauma that I experienced from watching Apocalypse Now at my young age and why, strangely, I don't watch any war movies. Talk to me about Band of Brothers? I think not.
Yeah, they're not a lot of laughs, in all honesty. Very sad to say. At the end of the movie, after Ghost Charlie has murdered all the other, gang members, he's like, I'm going to leave town now with Cheryl and Fenn. And he tosses his car keys to his baby bro and is like, hey, you can keep this car. I'm out of here. And the guy's like, oh, it's my brother, Jamie. Jamie, come back. Like, it's Shane. That's a dated reference. Jamie, come back.
The quote is Jamie.
There it is. That's it.
See, the notes are all coming together.
Think about this: is Charlie Sheen's character does not have to leave town. I guess unless he's running from the law at this stage of the game. It's like now I have to because I've committed all these murders.
The law is Randy Quaid.
Well, here's so now, spitballing here. if he's running for the law from the law, is he framing his brother for the crimes? He's like, here, there's blood on the fender, tossing him the car keys. Good luck, bro. I'm out of here. I'm just spitballing here. Is that a possibility? Perhaps it is.
I don't necessarily see his character as a hero.
Well, he's there for revenge. Although he never seems to...
Is revenge a heroic act?
No, not necessarily. Not at all. Well, and again, it's not like... When he is Charlie Sheen, it's not like he's looking at the dude who murdered him going, I'm going to get that motherfucker. At no time is he like, I'll get these guys. It's the last thing I do. Instead, he's just like, whatever. I'm just here to shack up with my girlfriend and have sex in a love creek. That's all he's after.
There's a love creek. Is there a hate creek also? Or
could be. Could be. Pond. But when he's wearing all leather and has the helmet on, now it's all about revenge. So who knows what his motivations truly are? It's impossible to discern. That's all I'm saying.
So then the question is, so does the brother then drive to another city to avenge somebody else? Or is he going to the Piggly Wiggly in his Elon mobile and just putting groceries in the trunk?
I think that's it, right? He was just like, bro, you didn't have a car. Now you have one. I don't think he now has to carry on because all the bad, I guess he can go run down Clint Howard on the way home from work while he's still doing his thing because he somehow survived the wrath of the Wraith. The wrath of the Wraith. How about
the
that?
The wrath of the Wraith. It's yet another World of Warcraft deck of cards right there.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts and feelings? Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, finally, after everyone leaves, then Randy Quaid wants to investigate the string of bizarro murders. Yeah, but it seems like they're going to confiscate that nuclear-powered Elon mobile. I mean,
is it street legal? We don't know. See?
Yeah. Well, it's Arizona, so I'm sure it comes with a gun and a beer holder, but it's pretty free and loose.
Fast
and
loose.
There's no explanation why things are happening, how they happen. Yeah.
Right.
Was Jamie's real father an alien? Wasn't that a movie somewhere? Maybe that's Superman.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Right?
I mean, none of it makes any sense. The end.
Yes. Because ostensibly, it's about him getting his revenge on the guys who stabbed him to death.
Why can't he look like his normal self to get the revenge?
I think it's meant to be kind of a reincarnation kind of deal, maybe. I don't know.
So does that mean all the bad people will get reincarnated, or they can't because they have doll's eyes?
Maybe.
Are the Cenobites coming to pick them up?
We don't know the answers to these questions, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think the writers of the movie know the answers to these questions. So it's a sad situation.
And who's bankrolling the bad guys? Because what we talked about in the other podcast is you see their shop, which is an 80s glass block, neon covering the entire place. It's state of the art. It looks like an 80s disco.
But only from the inside. From the outside, right. It looks like an old
like a
meth
bank
shed.
Wagon.
Right. Yeah. It looks like a meth shed in the middle of like Needles in the desert.
Can it
somewhere.
Be both? Can it be both? Yeah, in Needles, California, 100%.
Named for the needles going in their arms, evidently. Would be my
womp,
guess.
Womp.
Womp, womp.
We're burning our own state along with its nearby friend.
We burn them all. We're like the
burn
Wraith.
Them all.
Absolutely.
We'll be going after Nevada next.
They're next on our hit list. So they basically...
Don't make me give you a kidney buster, Kevin.
And what is a kidney buster?
Apparently, that's when...
You punch to the kidney?
Ron Howard's Eraserhead-like brother punches you. I don't know. Is
that's
that bust your
punch.
Kidney? It's a it weak could punch. Be. Maybe he headbutts you with his enormous noggin.
He does have an enormous noggin. It's a sad situation. they race people, make them race them. When they win, they steal their car, and then they take it to their chop shop. Is that what it is?
Maybe.
Who the
it
hell?
Was awfully it's nice. Impossible. They had all these like vintage cars they were working on in their 80s discotheque.
Right. Well, and the Wraith shows up there one afternoon with a shotgun and starts shooting all their stuff, but doesn't shoot them.
Right. What's that about?
If he has a gun.
He you're shoots a ghost. Only their cars because he only wants them to die in a fiery car crash. But what? He's blowing up all their cars.
It would make it harder to race them if you do
maybe
that.
Maybe he's not ready to leave yet. Maybe his scooter was being worked on.
Well, I think I made this point before where it's just like, it'd be one thing if Charlie Sheen was ran off the road like Dead Man's Point or some shit, right? And
Dead
died
Man's
in a fiery
curve.
Crash. Well, what the... Dead Man's Curve, thank you. Not a point. It's a curve.
It's Point Break.
Absolutely. He, you know, and so then he gets his revenge. Instead, it's like some bizarre stabbing scene that had nothing to do with the fact that they're racing each other. I don't know. None of this makes any GD sense.
He can do his Vietnam thing where he's biting the knife and then coming up and waiting for each one of these methods to have sex in an old dirty pond and then stabbing
correct.
Them.
Correct. Wait till they're in mid-coitus. Wait till they're in mid-coitus and then strike like a viper. That could have been
100%.
Better.
That's how you work in the whole apocalypse now. Now it's a circle of Sheen.
Absolutely. So, exactly. Well, change the whole thing. Get rid of the cars altogether. Now it's just, you know, they're at like singles clubs or some shit. Like they're trying to hit on the ladies. They're like incels. The evil gang members are incels. Right?
Instead of knives or cars, they just threw snakes at each other at the disco.
At each other. Each person carries a snake with them.
Like yes, snake handlers, there's they come up to at the disco,
yep.
Start talking their gibberish, yep. And then throw a snake at you. I'd pay for that. I would pay to see that.
Snakes
Starlight Express included.
Absolutely. He could still dress like Starlight Express and dance on the dance floor like
with
he's Tony Manero.
It would have to be. It would have to be like the Super Bowl, and it's going to be Usher, but with snakes.
Right. It's true.
It writes
anyway,
itself. Hollywood.
It writes
come
itself.
On.
It would have to, because who else is going to write it? Shall we go behind the scenes, for God's sake?
Oh,
sakes.
Are there behind the scenes?
There are many behind the scenes.
Okay.
Let's see. The black car featured in the movie was a real-life technological wonder, the Dodge M4S, and it was a $1.1 million pace car used for, you know.
So Dodge should sue Elon. Is
absolutely.
That what I'm hearing?
That's what I'm telling you. Absolutely.
I'm
going to
write them a check. Did no one tell them about this?
Perhaps they should. The futuristic weapon wielded by the Wraith is a Franchi Spaz 12 shotgun with a folding stock.
Someone named a shotgun a Spaz?
SPAS-12. Yes. Let's see. According to Charlie Sheen, when he appeared on Jay Leno's Garage, which I guess was a TV show, yeah. I shot this in a pit stop on the way to the Philippines to film Platoon. Sheen said of the Wraith, Oliver Stone went and saw it in the movie theater and called me so angrily afterwards, Sheen recalls, as Stone was genuinely worried that the Wraith was going to spoil people's opinions of Platoon.
But and Charlie right. Sheen, not so worried about his own career.
Clearly not. He's just cashing them checks.
I would have loved to hear that. Just Oliver Crazy Stone just screaming and screaming drunkenly into the phone.
Absolutely. Because of the tight filming window prior to filming Platoon, Charlie Sheen's scenes were filmed in one day. He's on screen for less than 30 minutes.
Let's think about it. He's sitting on a towel at the beach. Then he's standing next to a car and rides off 30 miles an hour on like a scooter. The
correct.
End.
Correct. That's all you need. Johnny Depp, who was dating Sherilyn Fenn, was present during filming and was living in the film crew's hotel with Fenn. There you go.
He seems like he'd be so needy, as we've learned.
As we've learned. Ask Amber Amber Heard. What the heck? I'm having an episode. Amber Heard.
I did not watch the little documentary. I don't want to hear about people pooping in each other's beds.
No, I do not. No thanks. High Plains Drifter, Mad Max, and The Road Warrior were cited by Mike Marvin as influences behind this film.
That's a lie.
That's what he said, not how true it was.
He had to quickly think of something when he was caught off guard that someone actually asked him what his influences for this film were.
Exactly.
The Seven Samurai, and of course, Fritz Lang. Birth of a Nation. Absolutely. Lenny Riefenstahl. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. This cast was peopled with cast members who are related to more famous actors and such. We talked about Jake was played by Charlie Sheen, who's the son of Martin Sheen.
Yes.
Packard was played by Nick Cassavetes, son of John Cassavetes and Gina Rowlands, which I did not know. Yep. Likewise, Clint Howard is related to Ron Howard, his brother. Randy Quaid, related to Dennis Quaid. And we didn't talk about Griffin O'Neill, played one of the gang members. Do you know who Griffin O'Neill is related to?
Ryan O'Neill?
Shaquille O'Neill. It was shocking.
Now, wasn't he the one who shot somebody?
Something like that, right? He and Ryan were shooting at each other, if I'm remembering this correctly. Like, there's all sorts of shit going down. That was some bad biz. Griffin O'Neill was also in April Fool's Day, if you remember that from 100 years ago. Let's see. This plot bears
in 83, his father punched out his two front teeth. They decided not to press charges. 2007, Ryan O'Neill was arrested for assaulting after shooting at Griffin during a dispute.
Yep.
Also, prosecutors also then decided not to file charges.
Well, because
do you think privilege might have something to do with this? Well, I'm pretty sure that I knock out my son's teeth. Somebody's going to jail and they're going to look a lot like me.
I'm not defending this craziness, but I think Griffin O'Neill was an adult at the time. And if Griffin goes, I'm not pressing charges, then, you know, it's like kind of a battered wife situation. You know, there's not much you can do.
All right. It was in 83. So he what? He was 18?
He was 45 at the time. Let's talk about the cast and crew, shall we?
Okay.
Charlie Sheen played the Wraith. Ever so briefly, you know him from such things as he was in 178 episodes of Two and a Half Men before he was kicked off the show. You know him from The Three Musketeers. He played Aramis, the devoutly religious musketeer, shockingly enough. He was Bud Fox in Wall Street in 1987. And he played Topper Harley in 1993's Hot Shots Part Deux. So, all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, nothing on my hit parade, I'll tell you that.
Oh, very upsetting. Nick Cassavetes played Packard. You know him from Face Off. Do you remember him in Face Off?
Who was he in Face Off?
He was bald in that one. He was like the evil Nicolas Cage's compatriot, kind of like a helper. He was supposed to be Gina Gershon's brother or something.
All right.
Who knows? He was in The Astronaut's Wife in 1999. He directed My Sister's Keeper in 2009 and Alpha Dog in 2006.
Wow.
He's a director.
The accolades are just rolling. They're just rolling in. Next.
Sherilyn Fenn played Carrie. You know her from such things as Of Mice and Men in 1992. She played Curly's wife.
Oh, I was like, George? Did she play George? Is that what it was?
She was George, yes. She was in Wild at Heart in 1990 playing Girl in Accident, which doesn't seem like a very prominent role, if I have to guess. She was in 30 episodes of Twin Peaks playing Audrey Horn. And, of course, she was the titular Helena in 1993's Boxing Helena. So there you go.
You also forgot that she was in a couple of episodes of The Gilmore Girls.
I did forget that, as a matter of fact.
How dare you?
Randy Quaid played Sheriff Loomis. You know him from such things as Independence Day. 1996. He was in The Last Detail with Jack Nicholson in 1973. He was Cousin Eddie in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation in 1989.
Iconic. Now he's currently, you can see him anywhere you go to a post office.
Oh, Jesus. Lovely, federal lovely fugitive.
Federal fugitive. He's doing his shenanigans. I believe he has a MAGA channel now on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure tune in.
Kevin will provide a link, I'm sure.
I will not, as a matter of fact. And he was Ishmael in 1996, Kingpin, which I love. You ever seen Kingpin? Hilarious.
It's all right. Of the bowling movies, it's the lesser of the bowling movies.
Clint Howard played Rughead. You know him from such things as...
names.
Far and Away.
Andy Griffith Show.
Was he on the Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah, every now and then. You know, when Opie was getting too old, all of a sudden they throw it.
Clint
Howard was so cute when he was a tiny little baby.
Gentle Ben, when he was on Gentle Ben. They literally threw him in a bear cage and just said, whatever. That's how they did it back in the day.
Dance boy, dance.
Dance boy. He was Paco in The Water Boy. If you haven't seen The Water Boy, it's hilarious because... he's one of the hecklers in the audience when they're watching like the football games. And there's Clint Howard just being Clint Howard, looking like Clint Howard. And then they had a guy next to him where they'd obviously put a bunch of prosthetics on him to make him look freaky, to make him look not nearly as freaky as a Clint Howard, but just kind of approaching the same ballpark. How horrible. Poor Clint Howard.
Clint Howard has one of the longest careers. It used to be his brother would throw him in, but now everybody throws him in.
Absolutely.
He must be a delight. He must be a delight. You know, there's certain people in Hollywood who keep showing up and you're like, why is this motherfucker still here?
Absolutely.
And it's got to be he's a delight.
Now you know. He was Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery as radar operator in 1997.
Radar operator.
And he was in Austin Powers' The Spy Who Shagged Me, playing radar operator in 1999. Sweet shit. He's got to pay them bills, too.
Not Randy, the radar operator, but just radar operator.
Just radar. Very upsetting. Now, is there anybody else you want to know from the cast? I think we're good to go.
I think. No, did you ever say, did Cassavetes ever do anything?
Yeah, we talked to him. He acted in a few things, and he's a director these days, mostly.
Whatever. He did some stuff with his dad. I read that.
Oh, I'm sure. Let's go to Rotten Tomatoes for the rating, shall we? The Wraith, currently... 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that like the lesser 98 degrees?
36 degrees, exactly. With one of the other Lachey boys. Do you know what the audience gave it?
28%?
61%!
My lord.
Let's talk about the...
very strong. That seems very strong.
Very strong. Let's talk about the top critic, shall we? Janet Maslin of the New York Times says...
What's Janet got to say?
She's got some shit to say. Mr. Cassavetes is effectively black-hearted and makes a striking figure, and Randy Quaid does a lot with an underdeveloped role of a local sheriff. 3 out of 5.
kind of shit.
No mention of anybody who is like, you know, Charlie Sheen, not even worth mentioning. He is only in it for 5 minutes. There's only one other top critic. It is Paul Attanasio from the Washington Post, where he says, there is all too little of the quietly charismatic Sheen and all too much of Cassavetes, who is a dead ringer for a young Hugh Hefner.
He did look like Hugh Hefner. He needed more silks.
Needed more silks. Lacy cravats, if you will.
Yes, the puka shell went in with that. That's all right.
I mean, you know you've got it made when you wear a silk robe 24 hours out of the day. I mean, that's the way to do it. You know what I'm saying? You never get out of the robe.
To me, once you start wearing a uniform,
no can do.
Give it up. Give it up. And it drives me crazy, the old sitcoms. Always the same thing. Tim Allen, it was always some fucking jersey. Cosby, it was always the Cosby sweater. I'm like, really? So they're paying people like a full-time salary to dress you in a uniform. There we go. That's my 2 cents.
Well, it's a sitcom. Doesn't matter. Who cares?
It didn't make me calm, and it didn't make me sit.
Okay. Fair enough. Let me write this down. What is your rating for The Wraith?
I was going around and around because I can't remember what I rated Surf Nazis Must Die.
Not high, that's for sure.
Not high. And I was trying to debate which I hated more, this or Surf Nazis Must Die. And I want to say that at least Surf Nazis Must Die has a great name.
Okay.
So I'm going to give this 1.5 drops of tiger's blood out of 5.
I mean, this movie is not a good movie, but it's not like painful to watch. You know what I mean?
I didn't give it a 0.
Surf Nazis was a pretty rough sled. If you haven't seen Surf
terrible.
Nazis, terrible. That was a terrible.
But it had the one redeeming quality, which it was a great name. That sounds like a terrific like punk band name. Surf Nazis Must Die. I randomly just say that. Hey, Surf Nazis Must Die. Like
and
I say that a lot.
High five you or?
Yeah. I say that a lot when I see skateboarders and they're in the middle of the street and I want to run them down. I'm like, surf Nazis.
So you're the Wraith at that point.
I'm the Wraith. Where's my Elon Mobile?
No question. Well, I mean, I actually listened to the old episode. I said 2.5. I'm probably still around there. Maybe even a 2. It's not that it's painful to watch. It's just kind of,
it's just like, meh.
Meh. It would, yes. If I'm flipping channels, I'm probably still flipping. Let's be honest.
Let's just say within 5 minutes, you're deep in your TikTok death spiral.
No question. Absolutely. So, I mean, again, not horrendously awful, but by no means enjoyable. So there you go.
It just doesn't make sense and it's kind of boring.
It's kind of boring. Although you do get to see Sherilyn Fenn, naked as a J, so I'll take it.
There you go. And the that, smooth, smooth chest of a young Charlie Sheen.
Of a young Charlie
now
Sheen.
Now you can imagine Oliver Stone just losing his shit on him. and Charlie just taking whatever the hell he was taking at the time.
No question. So, thank you very much. I'm going to close the door on the Wraith. Thank you very much.
Kick that door shut.
Nail it shut. We're on all sorts of social media. We're on X. We're on Facebook. I'm back on Facebook, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. I'm no longer restricted. I was restricted for a month.
We should probably discuss that now with all the heat TikTok's getting. Now TikTok's coming after your what the F videos.
They're after me. I'm persecuted.
Honestly, if we get more than 200 views, all of a sudden we're either kicked off for your page or we had one completely removed, and it's a limited appeal, as usual. You're appealing to a robot.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting.
So get
anyway,
used to that. Get used to that. It's happening again.
We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Threads. We're on TikTok. We're all over the place. So check all that good stuff out. You can also email us the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review. And we're on Facebook, or Jesus, on YouTube.
Oh, what's happening? What's happening?
So, yes. It's late in the day.
We're on the YouTube. So when you're done watching Randy Quaid's channel, swing on by.
Check out Dennis Quaid's channel while you're at it. For goodness sake. Sweet Lord. What else was I going to say? I don't remember. Aaron, what is up with you? Must have been a lie. What is your social media situation?
I have the media. I, as far as I know, I am still on Artsy and First Dibs. I am on the F-Book. I am on the...
That's a different website. I don't want to know about that.
I am on the Instagram. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am on Threads. But basically, even if I've known you for 20 years, if you're putting anything political, I only want artsy-fartsy bullshit on my Threads. And TikTok, I barely even... I only look at it if Kevin makes me.
That's a goddamn
Aaron.
Lie. You love
Aaron. It. Check X. Check X.
That's true. That's true. X, I have to coax you, but TikTok, you're on there all the live long day staring at it until your eyes bleed.
I had to put a limit on it. I hope the government comes and takes it away. Take it away. I can't control myself. I watch the most bizarre shit, and it's never ending. It never stops.
Never ending story.
Are you texting someone? What's happening? This is riveting.
As you know, we like to share comments and questions from our friends across the interwebs. So let's take a look, shall we? We have our buddy, the Thorn Identity, talking about our episode of Lady in the Water.
Says, genius movie.
I'm not a fan of Shyamalan's work on the whole. That said, I think he's made three fantastic films. Sixth Sense, The Village, and this one is what he said.
Lady in the Water is genius. I cried at the end, and I'm dead inside.
Just like the Rainbow Connection. It's the Rainbow Connection.
Just like the Wraith.
And the Wraith. The Wraith, you cry for other reasons. Our friend Neg says, I really loved this movie. Apart from Shyamalan casting himself as the most important man in the world as the big twist, cool concept, and BDH is stunning in everything she does. That's Bryce Dallas Howard. By the way.
She's amazing. She looked like she'd be in The Secret of Rowan Inish. That this would be. It's now that I'm so glad that I said that, because a perfect double feature for St. Patrick's Day would be this and The Secret of Rowan Inish. And if you haven't seen The Secret of Rowan Inish, what the f- is the matter with you?
What is wrong with you? I've never Son seen of it. A by bitch. The way, never
what?
Seen it.
That's yes. You're a liar. You're a liar.
Never seen it.
Come My parents back called to me, Jamie.
Our parents referred to me as the dark-haired Doherty, like I'm the Selkie who swam out of the Irish Sea. So there you go.
Dude, I was in North Scotland and I saw seals in the water, and I grabbed my boyfriend at the time. I'm like, it's Selkie. He didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
I don't blame
him. Selkie. It was looking at me with its dark eyes.
Like
it was the dark-eyed
eye.
Woman.
Next week, we're discussing the horror classic, The Purge! The Purge, starring Ethan Hawke and others. I've actually never seen The Purge. Have you seen The Purge?
I've never seen it. I saw the fake Purge, the American Horror Story.
Purge false Purge.
Episode.
The Binge and Purge. that one. Well, and what I do every Saturday is I ask for suggestions, but now I throw up a poll and I said, here's some choices. And The Purge, number one with a bullet. People, so we got to check it out.
Young people love The Purge.
They do. They do
but
indeed.
But now I'm going to throw up The Secret of Frickin' Rowan Inish because, you know, It has shapeshifter, so that's science fiction.
It's science fiction. Absolutely. We can all agree on that.
I'm going to force you at gunpoint. I can't believe.
I'm not opposed to watching it.
John Sayles, the director, is an amazing Academy Award-winning director.
Well, I want it on the record here. As we know, he wrote and directed Secret of Ronin-ish. He also wrote Piranha.
Piranha.
Alligator. The Howling. So I have to see it now for only that reason. Absolutely.
He did some other artsy and fartsy ones.
He did. He did indeed. Including the Charlie Sheen movie, 8 Men Out, about baseball, about the Black Sox scandal. That. And he's even acting in that one. He acts in that one too. So check that one out. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions about Shoeless Joe Jackson or about The Purge. And we may talk about it on the show. So, thank you very much, and be well!
Good day. Dismissed.